Okay, Romans chapter 16, pick up at verse 25. I'm going to read that, open in prayer, and then we'll get started. Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have again to continue our studies in Romans. And we're praying, as always, for more insight, for more enlightenment into your word. We thank you for all those who are listening and those who may listen, that you might strengthen our hearts and minds as we read and believe your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
All right. We're back in Romans. Last week we left off with actually verse 25. Paul says, now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. And the key words to start off with is to be established, to establish us, to strengthen us, to settle us, to root us, to ground us. I say us, but in that day, Paul is talking to them, the Romans. And we get this, obviously it's written for us, but Paul is saying, I am writing these things, my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. It has the power to establish you, to strengthen, to settle you. And what greater need in that day, as well as this day, do we need to be established, to be strengthened, to be settled, to be rooted and grounded? At that time, when the Lord was leaving, he told the disciples that I'm going away. And in the meantime, he gave them the only thing they had was the mysteries of the kingdom to establish them, to strengthen them, to settle them. And that was limited knowledge, wasn't it? They knew he was going away, but they didn't know when he was coming back. He said a little while. We know that little while, it began to grow. What are we to do while you're gone, Lord? And he told them what to do while he was gone. And so that's all they had. The question would obviously begin to grow as time went on. The little while becomes a little longer and then a longer. And they recognize that our Lord delayeth his coming. How long? So they're in need of a little more assurance, a little more establishment. And as time goes on, Paul is saying that I am the man, verse 25, I am the man with the gospel from God that's of power to establish you. He's going to give you, we say this, the rest of the story. He's going to fill in the blanks that you have missing. Now, for us, and I was talking to a saint yesterday, things today are very disturbing, to say the least. Things that we see in the media, all these things, they trouble us. They trouble us with words. They are causing believers, even believers, they're causing us to be unstable, to be uprooted, to be ungrounded, to be tossed to and fro by the things that we hear. That's not God's aim. The things that we have in Christ, when Paul said that these things should establish us, they should be, we should be experiencing just the opposite of what we're seeing among, I'm not talking about those that are without, I'm talking about believers, that our peace is gone, our joy is gone. I'm not saying all of us, but I'm saying that it's being attacked. Our stability is being attacked, our peace is being attacked, our joy, our love, our comfort is being attacked. But that's because we're not listening to the man who said that he has the power to establish us. We're not listening to the gospel that establishes us. Look what he said in Colossians. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, start at verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. To whom? To his saints. Is that you? Are you a saint?
Yeah.
Paul says that God has made this known for you. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, when you believe that Christ is in you, I said, do you know when you believe that Christ is in you?
Yes, when I believe that Christ died for my sins and was raised again.
Yes, he's in you. I'll borrow this verse. Greater is he that is. Nobody knows the rest of the verse.
Me.
Greater is he that,
than he that is in the world.
Yes. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Colossians 1, he says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, mature, established, strengthened, settled in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and as for many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you know Christ in us? And this gospel is designed to give us the full assurance of understanding, a full assurance of comfort and wisdom and knowledge in what God has done, did do, has done, will do. That's at our disposal. That's for us. God says, I have recorded these things. I have revealed them. I have made them known for you. Everybody at other times couldn't say that. That's why Paul said, it was given to me to fulfill the word of God, to fill it up, to complete it, to show you all things that have been accomplished. You notice, and I'll get back over here in Romans in a minute here, in Colossians, in the Gospels, when the Lord is on the cross, the Gospels record what he says as he's dying. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they give a different account. They'll say, well, let's look at it. Well, I won't do that. That'll take up a lot of time. He'll say in Matthew that he gave up the ghost. He cried with a loud voice, and he gave up the ghost. And Mark says a similar thing, that he cried with a loud voice, and into my hands, he says, I commend my spirit. I'm not sure which sequence it is. Luke, same way. But in John, it says something different. Now, we will look at that one. Look at John chapter 19. John 19, let's start at verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set at a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. As I was thinking about these things, the first three Gospels, they don't record this. But in John, John makes a point of describing when Jesus is on the cross, he's counting these things off in his head. When I say these things, he's counting off all things. All things that were written of him.
Right.
He's counting these things off, that these things might be fulfilled. And when he's looking around and seeing in my mind, and the scripture said that he being in agony, but at the same time, all these things, he's counting them off. Check, 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 that all things might be fulfilled. These things were written. They were accomplished. Who knew all the things that were to be experienced by the Lord in his ministry, in his life, and on the cross even? Who knew those things? Other than him.
Well, they should have been known if they were written.
Yeah, to the extent that they had really studied the Old Testament, they would know a lot of it.
Yes, yes, to the extent that they study the Old Testament, because all these Luke 24 says, look at Luke 24. And I'm saying this because the things that happened to the Lord, they were all written. The things concerning him, they were all written. They were written by the law and the prophets concerning me. Luke 24, look at verse 40, Luke 24, 38. And as he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand what? The scriptures. Everything that happened to the Lord, he could go back in the law and the prophets and the psalm and say, "You see right here, guys? You see right here? You see right here? I did that. I did that." In verse 45, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." So I went back there because the fulfilling part is to show you that all things that were accomplished, that are written, Jesus made sure that they happened. They were all written. Now, Paul says that he has power to establish us according to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, the secret. Something you knew, something that you didn't know about Christ, I am going to reveal this to you. That's what the mystery means, is something that was not made known, something that was kept secret. So I have a quick question. Can a mystery be something that's prophesied? We're hanging on everywhere. Well, we're hearing, oh, it's skipping. Somebody said it's skipping.
It is.
Okay, I'm not sure.
That we're missing every other word.
I thought he said we're hanging on every word. I was going to say, is it that good?
It's good.
It's good, Frank. Sorry. Yeah, we're missing about every other word.
That's a transmission issue. What Frank is recording that I'll upload should be without those skips.
Okay. Thanks, Karen.
Okay. I didn't know that. Okay. Thanks, Karen. Well, let's see. What did I leave off at? Oh, can the mystery be
mystery? Yeah.
Can
a mystery be prophesied? What you left out?
Yes, I gave you three tries.
No.
Yes. Yes. No. Maybe. No. I got one. No.
The only way that I agree that a mystery could be prophesied is, well, it was a mystery to me until I read it. But it was there.
Okay.
Could it be veiled, like the veil over Moses' face?
Well, yeah, okay. That's the same thing as Ed is saying. Johnny, you're on mute. I can't hear you.
Yeah, I was saying what Ed was saying. Like, it could be prophesied, but because you didn't understand it, you don't know. So somebody has to explain what it means.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
I do. I know. I see exactly what you're saying. Well, let's take a look at something.
Could that be why Paul goes back and uses so many Old Testament scriptures to explain?
In Matthew 13, verse 33. Matthew 13, 31. I'm going to try to slow down a little bit so the skips, maybe they won't be as prominent. Matthew 13, 31, and another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, here's Jesus saying, I'm talking to the multitude in parables that they won't hear. Seeing, they won't see. Hearing, they won't hear. But I'm going to declare unto you what they mean to the disciples. And the parables, Jesus is saying that the parables are a fulfillment of a prophecy that says, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So here's Jesus. He's saying that what I'm telling you now is a mystery. That's why he called the mystery of the kingdom. But he said this mystery, these parables, he says they were prophesied. You know what Jesus is quoting in verse 35? He's quoting a quotation from the Psalms. Psalm 78. Look back at Psalm 78 or 78th Psalm. Now, you know the Psalms are often they prophesy about the Lord. And some of those Psalms are personalized. That is, the Lord, it's like the Lord is speaking them about himself. Verse 7, so this is one of them, 78:1. Give ear, O my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. How can a dark saying, parable, riddle, a mystery, he says, you've heard them. You've been told them. Fathers told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he had done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Now, here's this psalm, the dark sayings of old that Jesus uttered in fulfillment of this psalm, is the wonderful works that would be done by the Lord, the works that they are to pass on to their children and their children's children, that they might not be stubborn and rebellious, which is the reason why the Lord began to speak in parables, because they were stubborn and rebellious, and the things that should have been made known, they didn't want to hear those things. So the Lord pulls aside the ones that do want to hear, and he would explain them further. Now, I said that, can a thing that's a mystery be prophesied? And your answer now is?
That a thing that's a mystery can be prophesied. And the answer is?
And the answer is? I got one, yes?
One thing I look at this as is I relate it to myself today in the gospel, and I had heard the gospel, but it was still a mystery to me because I didn't understand it until that very day that I did. But it didn't, what I'm saying is it was still a mystery to me because I didn't understand it. It didn't make any sense to me. And then at a certain point, it wasn't a mystery anymore because I gained full understanding of it. My heart was open to understand, however you want to put it. But I believed it, I understood it, and it was no longer a mystery.
That is exactly. Now, was it still written, though?
It was written before, and it was still written after.
That's right. All you needed was the ability, the capacity to understand what was written.
Yes.
Okay. So Paul, that's what Paul says. Before you can get established, he's writing to believers who have the Spirit. Okay, Ephesians chapter, go back to Romans, and then we're going to go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says this. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, let's use Ed's analogy. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you newly saved people.
Yeah.
If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. The mystery of these things pertain to things about Christ. that maybe you hadn't heard before. And that's exactly what he says. It's something about Christ that you haven't heard before.
Right.
And skip that part. Skip that. Go down to verse, because there's a parenthesis there. Now go to verse 6. That you say, people, you believers, should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I am made a minister of the gospel according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among you newly believing people the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Paul says, to me, this gospel is given that I could fulfill your understanding about some things about Christ. If Paul didn't reveal things about Christ for us, or things that had not been previously revealed, what would we be left with our understanding?
Very limited.
It'd be very limited because, so think about this. All the wisdom of God, the knowledge, the full assurance that we talked about, the wisdom and treasures of Christ, all the love, the joy, the peace, the long suffering, the grace, the mercy, the goodness, all these things that Paul comes in and he fills it in. You know what the gospels did for a reader was gave the introduction that here's the Christ, he's coming. And then they gave a conclusion that he's coming back to execute judgment and set up a kingdom. But what Paul does, he comes in and he gives the contents of the book. He fills in all these things that weren't yet given about the details of this book. The things that now we can pick up and enjoy. You know why a lot of believers are not established today? It's because they don't read.
Yeah, that's true.
They're running on automatic. You know, when I say, you know, I have a standard car, if anybody ever drove a standard, you know, it's a job. Although you get used to it, but you don't just get in, turn the key, and put your foot on the gas and cruise along.
No.
You have to make sure you're working gears all the time. You never stop moving in the standard. And I know sometimes I might scratch a gear when my wife is, you know, when I'm not really paying attention, I might just scratch a gear. My wife says, "You sure you know how to drive this car?" but my point is this: believers, we don't occupy ourselves with these things. So some of these, like Ed said, some of these things are still strange to us. That's why it's so easy to move us either way, because we don't really know what we have in Christ. We don't really. When was the last time you wondered if you were really saved? Now, you might say, I never wonder about that. Do you know there's a believer somewhere that's waking up after Saturday night activities or Friday night activities that are wondering, man, am I still saved? Was I ever really saved? Do you know that there's, I would venture to say, I'm going to say 100. Now, you know that's being lenient, don't you? Thumbs up, yes. Now, we don't have that issue. The only reason we don't have that issue is because we have been privy to some things that Paul wrote years ago, included in his gospel. Some of those things that are written are still a mystery to believers to whom Paul wrote and says that I want you to have the full assurance of understanding. It's not God's fault. It's not Paul's fault. It's not the Holy Spirit's fault who resides in the believer. You know whose fault it is? It's the preacher's fault. Whose fault is it?
The non-reader's fault.
Who?
The non-reader.
It's my fault. If I'm a non-reader, it's my fault. Yes.
User error.
Yes. So, but at any rate, back to Romans. Paul said that these things are, verse 25, they're given to me by revelation of the mystery. Now, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago. In Acts, when the Lord stood up, they knew they were to expect judgment to come, the day of the Lord to start. In the parable of the Luke chapter 20. Where is the parable of the vineyard? The parable of the vineyard. I thought that was Luke 20.
There is in Luke 20, verse starting at verse 9.
Luke 20? You said Luke 20?
Yes. Yeah, 29. 20 and verse 9.
20 and verse 9. Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. Thank you. 20 and verse 9. Well, he began to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also, and entreated him shamefully, and sent him away empty. And again, he sent a third, and they wounded him also, and cast him out. Then said the Lord unto the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? Now, close the book. Close the book right there. What shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? You're there. The Lord is asking you the question. What is your answer to the Lord? What shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? What shall he do unto them, Blake? You know what he shall do? Verse 16 says, he shall come and bless them.
Destroy.
He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. When Stephen stands up in Acts chapter 7, the Lord was coming back to grind them to powder. That's not a secret. They had rejected the stone. They had rejected the head of the corner. And that stone now was to grind them to powder. So now we have between verse 15, what shall he do unto them? And verse 16, destroying them and grinding them to powder. You know what you have now? Between those two verses is where you are, where you and I are right now.
Grace and mercy.
That's right. Now, show me the verse where that was prophesied. That's right.
The grace and mercy between the one part and the other.
Yes. You don't. That's part of it. Now, we definitely agree that that's Paul when he says, this is some of the things that he feels in.
Right.
Now, the believers in the Lord's day, when they were left with what shall we do, they wouldn't have an answer for that. But Paul says, I got the answer to that. He gave it to me. He gave me the answer to that. Now, Luke.
So until he explained it, Frank, I guess all the people had that lived at that time is to know that it hadn't happened, that they hadn't been ground to powder yet, you know. So, but they didn't know why until he explained it, right?
Exactly. But what they did.
Is that also like when the Lord read Isaiah and closed the book?
Same principle. But what they did know was this. That he shall, they knew verse 16, that he shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. Now, that's what they did know. Who is the others? The Lord said this to the little flock. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So when he does give it to others, guess who the others, guess who it's going to be? He says, it's yours. They know that it's ours. And he recognized them all the way that you are mine. You're the heirs. This is going to be for you. But Paul comes in and he says, the verse back to Romans 16, that now this mystery is made known unto you, verse 16:25, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now Paul is saying that this mystery that can establish you, that was kept secret, is now made known. That time frame, what's happening or what happened between what shall I do and destroying them? Paul said, I'm going to fill in some details for you that will establish you. And he said, it's the mystery that was given to me, to you, to fulfill the word of God. And Ephesians, well, let's just stick with Romans. Romans 11, Paul says this, and we'll pick up the rest of it next time. Paul said this in verse 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness, in part, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. There's a blindness that happened to the nation, in part. And Paul said, while that blindness is going on, I don't want you to be ignorant of this time frame. He calls it, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Do you think any of the Jews of that day were waiting for Gentiles to be added to them?
No.
Not a chance.
Do you think they would have any objection to that?
Yes.
That is funny, isn't
it? Yes.
You notice they, not just the unbelieving Jews had a very big objection to that. Even there was a problem with some of the believers. And namely, some of the main believers. Can you think of a main believer?
Peter at Cornelius. House.
Peter, James, and John.
They had to be enlightened also, didn't they?
Yeah.
Ephesians, we'll go back there one more time. Ephesians chapter 3 again. Well, let's go back to chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Do you know, if you were living back then, Sharon, that you couldn't be waking up saying, Lord, thank you for this day, unless it was Baal, the Lord Baal? You wouldn't be praying to Jehovah. You wouldn't be waking up saying, Lord, thank you for Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. You wouldn't be saying that, because you were aliens, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto God the Father. As the guy say, who knew? Who knew that? Paul is saying, I know that now, and I'm giving it to you.
Yep.
So you can know that. The cross of Christ, where Paul starts to, when the Lord says it is finished, that though all these things might be fulfilled, Paul comes in and he says, I'm going to tell you now, when the Lord says it is finished, I'm going to expound on all those things that were finished, that he says were finished. It was a plan much bigger than you thought. It was a plan much more inclusive than you thought. And is a plan much more rich. I was going to say treasury. I was going to make up a word and say treasury. But much more rich than you thought. The riches, so much richer, Paul calls them the unsearchable riches of Christ that he gave to me to show you. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And for us now, it's for us, we can sit down and we can read these things and enjoy these things and embrace these things, keep them close to us, that they might establish us, strengthen us, settle us. Johnny, keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger. That's the prayer they give. I'm just saying that the Lord keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger. And then you go out and get in an accident. But these things are things that are written to establish us in what he has done and what he is doing today, especially. And Paul said that it was given to me to you. I saw, did your hand go up?
Yeah, I was about to say, you said, like, then you go out and have an accident. And then, so, after you prayed like that. And then, so then you, now it's like you gotta rationalize why that happened. And so then the only thing you can really come up with is, well, I must have did something wrong. You know, I must have sinned in some way or something like that. Or, yeah. I may not be saved. I might have did something wrong, you know.
But and now that's the problem, is if you're not established, right, you will reach for that, because the Lord never said that I'm going to keep you from all hurt, harm, and danger. You're not exempt from the sufferings of this present time. And who knows that better than us believers, where we're all going through something that is, and sometimes, you know, it may get you to take a second, you know, a guess, like, wait a minute now, why is this happening to me? And you got to ask yourself, why not? You're not like something special, although you are something special.
But with it comes suffering.
And so you understand, right, Ed, that we're, you go back to Romans. That's the main part of Romans chapter 5, or chapter 5 and chapter 8, that Paul does, records for the believer to give him some comfort and stability in these things. You know what? Let's close out with a couple of these passages. Romans 5 and Romans 8. Romans 5. Therefore, 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, we don't just rejoice in the glory of God, we also glory in, what's the next word?
Tribulations.
Okay, now you taking your mental pen right now and you scratching that out because you don't like that.
No, yeah, I talk about those tribulations all the time.
That's right. If we had our choosing, we would not want to do that.
Right.
We glory also in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given unto us. When you go through those things are designed not to make you doubt whether God loves you, it's to strengthen you in his love. Because you know that these things, whatever happens, I still belong to him. The Holy Ghost inside should bear witness with you that I know this is not happening because of me. Unless you went out and done something stupid. Now, that's something totally different. Now, you can't go out and rob a bank and, you know, think that the Lord's hand of protection is over you. No. That's not going to work out in your favor. It's not going to work out for your good. Romans 5:6-4, and he explains it. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So if he died for you when you were enemies and ungodly, how much more are you dear to him now that you are a believer? If he gave his very best for you when you were an enemy and in unbelief, now that you are in, do you think he's going to turn his back on you? Of course not. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. You know, we look around now, and these things distress us. We're looking around. My wife came home today. She said, you know that this, what was that? What was the, you said it's $6 now. Eggs. It was a dozen of eggs, 18 eggs. That used to be $3, and she said, they're $6.39 now. And I said, well, keep hanging around, and there may be no eggs. anyway, we look at these things. I was talking to Karen yesterday. You got volcanoes, you got the river drying up, You got all kinds of natural disasters happening, and it's putting our world in a turmoil. The sufferings, this is falling under the sufferings of this present time. The creature, the creation, not just us, this whole world is waiting for a deliverance from top to bottom. 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Do you know that a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you, the source of all power? Paul said that that power, it resurrected Christ from the dead and set him far above all heavens. And that power is in you, and here you are with a backache, with disease, with infirmities, with et cetera, et cetera. And then you have the shysters on TV saying that God doesn't want you that way. Well, wait a minute. I got the power in me. You said the power's in you, and I'm still in the same situation. Well, the Lord says that we're waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, the free this body of sin. I think I
the
was
manifestation.
I was talking to Ed earlier before we got on. And he said, besides a little arthritis, well, but guess what? All of us are going to have a little something-itis before we get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
I might have a lot of it.
Yep.
Nobody's exempt. Nobody's exempt. Not 70-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 40, 30. 2010 and under year olds. If you have a body on, guess what? You are going to fall into the category of a sufferings of this present time, even if it's just as simple as a toothache. And you're all going to be waiting for the redemption of our body, not the patching that you get from the doctor, but the redemption. You know, what the doctor does is he lets you out on probation. You know, redemption is a total freeing of it. What the doctors, he puts you on probation and says, come back next month and we'll check it out. And David said, I look forward to being taken out of here. He's not in that category alone. There's a lot of people who look forward to being free from this bondage. 24, for we are saved by hope, our expectation. Anticipation. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he get hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I'm laughing at David. He says, until that happens, he said, I'm going to wear this body out. That's true. That's absolutely true. It's going to wear out whether you use it or not. It's going to wear out. So you might as well, like I say, Ed, you might as well get out and get the best out of it, right?
That's right.
But likewise, 26, likewise, the Spirit, there he is again, in you, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for them for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then he talks about us being conformed to the image of his Son. Now, the Holy Spirit is there to help us while we wait and endure these sufferings. And at the same time, he makes intercession for us when we wake up and we pray, oh, Lord, if I didn't have to deal with this arthritis, bursitis, tendonitis, appendicitis, whatever, itis, if I didn't have to deal with it today, I'd be all right. And he says, well, that's okay. I'm still there. It won't be long. And you just wait in anticipation and rest on the promise that I gave you. You say that sounds simple enough, but that's hard when you're going through it. You're running pillar to post looking for a remedy. Like Dr. X, Dr. Y, Dr. Z. And all he can do is patch you up and send you out, like I said, on probation. Say, come back next week and we'll patch it up again. Or come back next month and we'll sew it up again. Because he can only go so far. But in the meantime, the Spirit should be, we should be well acquainted enough with the Spirit and how he works to give us that comfort and that security that we still belong to God. He's still for us. He's still with us. And his end will still be accomplished.
And what he's promised, he'll so fulfill.
That's all we have to bank on, is that. And when it doesn't, when they tell us, God doesn't want you sick, he doesn't want you poor, and we're sick and poor, and you say, well, I guess I'm not saved because I'm sick and poor. And God said that his people aren't sick and poor. That is not what Paul said. That's not in the fulfillment, what he gave us, not at this time. So we have to get acquainted with these things. And I'm sure that we went over a little, but we're going to stop there. We'll pick back up in Romans and finish it out next week with just some concluding thoughts. And until then, we'll close out in prayer and meet again next time. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the time that we've covered these things. We pray that it might strengthen us and encourage us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.